Okay, we can get ready for puja. Huh? So, Siang will nominate two persons. Huh? Yeah, can. Yes. Can. Yeah. Karaniya Sutta. Okay. No problem. Can. Yeah. Bring it along. I still got now the retreat version. You want me to bring some? Okay. Okay. Then the other one is the 10-year anniversary CD. I still got a lot. I will bring. Yeah. I need. Can Tuesday you send over? So. Yeah. Oh, then you keep lah. You know you keep. No. I still got. I think got 5-6 copy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let us stand. Get ready for puja. Okay, let us stand. Get ready for puja. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, let us compose our mind, huh? Develop the sadha, the faith, the virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page one of the chanting book. We shall commence the vandana. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macchapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena ditena tamang dangsina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi Butang Kusumena Nena Punena Matena Cha Tumokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasabawang Adivasetu Nobante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Parivasetu Nobante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. Wait. We will now do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jap. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. We shall now proceed to off the light. Then you can have your meditation. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. Then for those who still need to train your mind, you can continue to do so. always remember, meditation is to be done with understanding, means you must know why you are here to meditate. Then only you can develop it properly. You don't even understand what meditation is and what is it that you are trying to develop. Then you will be gullible, follow instruction, just do without real understanding. So like I used to stress upon, always check if the spiritual faculty are not stable, means the mind is still heedless. The untrained mind will be heedless. So don't worry, just understand that. Then you need to train this mind. So you start off by developing the skillful means, the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. So that your mind, even before the spiritual faculties come in, can become quiet and peaceful. That's why you have to do that. Then do not look down upon the mind sweeping method. It can be very useful and very powerful. Then after your mind become quiet, silent, you combine with loving kindness, metta, to develop the inner well-being. So inner peace leading to inner well-being is the initial training. When you do mind sweeping method, you just feel and relax, you don't think. That's why the thinking will be deconditioned. It will slowly disappear, because as you do the mind sweeping method, you train your mind to just feel, relax, no more thinking. Then you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. That's why this mind becomes different. This mind can be trained to be peaceful, to be aware without thought, and to stay at the location you want it to be. Then you just feel and relax into every mind state that arises. So sooner or later, this thinking will slow down and become completely like no more. Then you will experience the silence, the peacefulness of mind. Then when you combine with metta, you radiate love. Then this mind will have inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then after that, you return to your facial muscle. Then you continue to sweep it out. So the inner peace with the inner well-being, together with your mind-sweeping method, will make you very calm, very peaceful, very silent, very still. This is the meditative state that you try to develop. But because you are not stable with your spiritual faculty, the moment you stop doing it, the heedless thinking have the tendency to come back. So what you have to do is to stabilize it. That's why all meditation, when you go there, they didn't explain this to you, because they themselves also may not understand. So they introduce a method and a technique. They ask you to focus, then stay with the object of meditation. It can be mindfulness of the in and out breath, or anapanasati, or rising and falling, or any dynamic meditation, or even chanting buto, buto, and all those things. Whatever that they teach you, it's just a skillful means to anchor the mind, to stabilize the silent, the meditative mind, the awareness within. If you can be mindful without thought, your mind will become calm and peaceful. Because mindfulness is a spiritual faculty. Without thought, there will be no restlessness, no thinking, no like and dislike, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. So all of the mental hindrance, they will just cease. Then when you understand all this, you just have to continue to train this mind. But for those who have already developed the puja very well with understanding, then the spiritual faculty will also come about. You can develop them together. So the best way to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty is through puja, devotional practice. Then the puja is taught by Lord Buddha, just like what we have done just now. We can reflect on the virtue, nine great virtue of the Buddha, to develop the faith. Then we can reflect on the Dhamma, or the teaching, the essence of the teaching as taught by the Buddha. And when you realize how beautiful this teaching is, what is capable of, our faith becomes stronger. Then we were determined to walk this way, to cultivate accordingly. That's why the spiritual zeal, the mental tenacity to cultivate, to go this way, will arise. So the mental zeal, tenacity, they will arise. Then it will drive you to cultivate. The first thing you cultivate is sati. That's why when you pay respect, you compose your mind, silence your mind. Then you pay respect mindfully. Body and mind move as one without thought. Then when you make puja offering, it's the same. Be mindful of everything that arises and pass away. When you perceive all those offering items, when you rejoice, you are mindful inwardly. Then how you arise from your seat, how you stand, how you get ready for puja. Then how when the offering starts, you rejoice by saying sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And as you do that, you are aware, mindful. Mindful of all the activity and movement of all kilometers. Then the rejoicing becomes stronger and stronger. Then when it comes to your turn, you mindfully move your hand, body and mind as one to receive it. Then when you held it, when you make the offering, you have to be mindful. And as you develop this ability to be mindful, after your offering, when you pass on, you are still mindful. That's why all of activity, movement within the present moment, you have mindfulness, you have awareness. Then whatever rejoicing or vibration or sense experience that arise, you are mindful. That's how sati develop. Then after that, we will chant the Vandana, salutation to the Buddha. Then after that, we will chant the three refuges to reconfirm, to reaffirm and commit our devotion to the Triple Gem. And that will allow us to take refuge with understanding. And when you do it with understanding and mindfully, you will develop a lot of affinity with the Triple Gem. You will pave the way for your cultivation to become beautiful. Then after that, you renew your five precepts. Then we continue to chant all those puja offerings. Then when we understand this puja offering, we make aspiration based on our understanding. Then the closing puja too, we share merit, transfer merits. Then we get to listen to Dhamma, straighten our view, rejoice for all the wholesomeness. Then we can also be of service to the sasana, to all of fellow kayanamitas. So all these are very wholesome. Almost all of the 10 meritorious actions are there. All of dana, sila, bhavana. Then you pay respect, reverential salutation. Then you develop what they call the wholesome state of mind to meditate. And we also, after that, listen to Dhamma. We have our Dhamma session. Then after that, you straighten your view. You rejoice with all the wholesome sharing. Then after that, you can also share merit, transfer merits. Then finally, you determine with the faith to walk this way. So all these are very wholesome. Then the closing puja, you also make aspiration by invoking power, merits. All this will help you in the cultivation. So this is what you need to understand. So when the spiritual faculties are there, technically, you can meditate without any object of meditation. The moment you silent, relax, you are already in the meditative state. But before the meditative state can arise, your spiritual faculty must be developed and it must be stable. That's why Sada Virya we can develop it through puja, contemplation. But sati need to be developed throughout the day in our daily mindfulness. Then in the form of meditation, we are supposed to train the mind until it is silent, aware, and stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then only we can develop this ability of mind to meditate in the midst of life, to do the daily mindfulness. That is what meditation is all about. So when you understand, you will know what to do. Okay, now I leave it to you to develop your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. also still want to meditate, you can continue. For yourself and off slowly, mindfully, come order, meditation. Then turn to page 6. We have a chanting invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Brothers and sisters, let's chant together. Samanta Chakravalisu Atragachantu Devata Sadhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sagamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Vadanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Vadanta Savanan kalo ayam badanta namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atasa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ucupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahoneyo, Pahoneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaneyo, anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu.
Okay, let us pay respect to Puja, then viewer and the Puja. Bedang Puja mi. Tamang Puja mi. Sanghang Puja mi. Okay. You can be seated. Okay, just relax yourself. Maintain some form of attention. We will now commence with the second session. Meditation reporting followed by Q&A. You can ask whatever question relating to the Dhamma, the meditation, and how to apply the Dhamma that we have developed the understanding to help you cope with life, understand life, so that the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the essential Dhamma, can become very clear and they are applicable to life. Okay. Now we open it up. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask question? Raise your hand. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. So what is it that you want to learn if you don't want to report your meditation? You should ask. Just report frankly, based on what you have done, so that we will be able to develop the understanding together, so that I can advise you accordingly. Or do you want to do it like retreat style, one by one we go around? I realize many of you don't want to report, don't know whether you are shy or what. It is very important that you understand what you are doing. Reporting means tell exactly what's your understanding and what is it that you are doing during meditation and how you experience the meditation. You don't have to like modify or try to use your own theory to explain. No, just report exactly how you understand it and how you do it. That is most important. So that I can correct you if there is anything that you are still not sure. Pass the mic to Christina. Just push the center. The center white piece. No, center down there. Push it. Slide.
Hello.
Yes.
Good evening, Brother Teo. Actually, lately, my meditation not so good.
Don't worry. Nothing to do with good or bad. You
and
just explain.
I have been encountering this slot and topper. Aware of it.
So when you start, how is it like? Immediately, the slot and topper come or what?
No. It will be after a while. I think less than 5 minutes.
Okay. Then when it arises, what do you do? How do you feel first?
I'm aware
that the mind is sleepy.
Yes.
So what do you do after that? That is very important. That's why you have to report this. Then you explain exactly what do you do and what you experience after that. When you feel very sleepy, what do you do? What do you do? Don't try to get the answer. Just tell me exactly what happened.
I how to say
you go back to breathing.
Breathing.
Does it help?
Go back to breathing.
Does it help?
It helped me, but after a while,
it come back again. Then what do you do after that? Do you continue to fight it?
Fight.
No, because you try to do something to bring about the awakeness, understand not? It is like you fighting it, understand not? But you don't want to be sleepy. Do you realize that don't want that slight dislike for that sleepiness? That's why you say it's bad meditation or not so good. Sleepiness doesn't mean not so good, understand? Of it. So I will explain it one more time. We should actually thank Christina for the good question. But you don't report, it's very difficult to explain. I have explained before, sleepiness is very common. So normally this sloth and torpor is a mental hindrance. So when you understand there is a mental hindrance, what do you do? What do you do? We slowly go into it so that you understand. So sloth and torpor. thanks. Enough. This one don't need. So sloth and torpor is one of the five mental hindrances. In Pali it's called Tina Mida. So this is sloth and torpor, sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind. So when you want to meditate, then this mind state arises. So it's a mental hindrance. What does it mean? If it's a mental hindrance, means what? This word. What is this word? Means it's going to hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. So when you understand there is a mental hindrance, you cannot meditate. So if you were to label it, just like pain, means you don't like the pain, it becomes a mental hindrance. So it will hinder you from entering the meditative state. So this is already wrong view. That's why you have to be just aware. Aware means what? This one I share at the Wuping Ching Sir. I use sensual desire, you will, the first two hindrances. But this time tonight is very good because Christina experienced love and torpor. Under the four foundations of mindfulness, what did the Buddha say? Dhammanupassana, first category of practice. What is the first category of practice? Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation. Mindfulness of what? Five mental hindrance. Under that particular instruction, what did the Buddha say? When the mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will or sloth and torpor has arisen, what must you do? You have to be aware, isn't it? Aware means you don't label, understand or not? Just aware, silent. And when you don't label, what happens? There is no mental hindrance. Because there is no thought. Understand? Understand? And the other thing is, what did the Buddha say? Don't fight this. You have to understand the reason why this arises means your five spiritual faculty, they are still not stable. Still not stable. That's why they arise. Then the Buddha said, if this is the case, mental hindrance will arise, understand or not? So when they arise, the first thing you do is to develop awareness of it. That's why silent. Don't resist. Don't resist. Resist means what? Correct, huh? Don't resist means what? Don't develop any like or dislike against it. Even good mind state, like pity, everything that arises, don't cling, don't attach. Then this one normally people don't like. They label it as not good meditation or bad meditation. I come here to meditate, but I become sleepy. So you react to it, you resist it, you don't want to be in this state of sloth and torpor. This is not what the Satipatthana teach. The Satipatthana say, when the mental hindrance has arisen, you must be aware. If you just silence your mind and be with it, just aware of it, what happened? If you continue to develop this in the meditation, just aware, finally one day you will come to understand like what the Buddha said. The form and mind will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. That part can understand. Yeah? The unarisen. Mental hindrance. Comes to be. Because if you are just relaxed, aware and silent, then all of a sudden this one comes. Means you understand this unarisen mental hindrance, they arise because you lack this five spiritual faculty. Understand? Yeah? Then the Buddha says, don't fight, don't resist. Means silent, aware, be with it. When you're silent and aware, be with it, this is sati. Understand? This awareness is sati. Where there is no thought, no like, no dislike, no sensual desire and ill will. Then, that sloth and torpor is a label. You label it as pain, aversion arise. You label it as sloth and torpor. You dislike this mental state, mental hindrance arise. That's why don't labor. Don't resist. Just stay. Be with it. Can do that or not? This one no more. Yeah, this one better. The one, eh? Otherwise, every time. Now my eye got one more here. Oh, you got another red, darker. We have this one also, not much color left. Oh, thank you. Just now, what was it that I was saying? There was one word. Ah, yeah, correct. Thank you. Aware means be with it. Just aware. Stay with it, understand? If you do this, you know what will happen. Because no more mental hindrance. No more mental hindrance. It's just aware. Then the mind, all of a sudden, yeah, there is a shift of consciousness. And I tell you, the whole of the sloth and torpor is gone. Initially, it's like it continued to be very strong. But because you don't resist, you try it. You will be very, very surprised how this mental hindrance just ceases to be. Because when the spiritual faculty of sati takes over, there is no mental hindrance. Then this spiritual faculty overcomes the hindrance. That's why it will give rise to virya. There is a shift of consciousness. Then all of a sudden, the sloth and torpor no more. Then there is this brightness. this virya, this spiritual zeal and joy, a lot of clarity and energy, they will arise. Then the mind, after this happened, the form and mind will understand, like the Buddha said, how the unarisen, how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. He will understand how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. Means what? Do you know how it disappear? Do you know how it disappear? I already explained it. Because you don't resist, you don't create mental hindrance. You continue to relax and just aware, silent. Be with it. Then you realize without resistance, without thought, the mental hindrance ceases to be. But the thought is the one that attach and cling and create the mental hindrance. That's why spiritual faculty is very important. Now you can understand. This is the real satipatthana. Yeah. That if you do this long enough, then you come to realize with the spiritual faculty in place, this mental hindrance ceases to be, can never arise anymore. That's how you understand how in the future this unarisen mental hindrance can never arise again anymore. But sometimes you can feel sleepy after your spiritual faculty is already developed. It's because body too tired, understand? If body is too tired, it's not a hindrance, understand? Body is too tired, you can rest. And when you rest, you don't have problem one with sloth and torpor. You just rest. Even very sleepy. The awareness is still there. That's why the awareness can go into the sleep state. That's why 24-hour awareness is possible. Continuous mindfulness. So, the five spiritual faculty, when it's stable, when it's developed, even if your body is very tired, you want to rest. No problem, you just rest. You will not feel the sloth and torpor at all. You can be very tired. Yeah. Then you just rest. Silent. Then it's like your body sleep. But the awareness is still there. That's why when the spiritual faculty is developed, you hardly sleep. Yeah. But later on, if you need deep sleep or deep rest, you don't go and maintain that mindfulness, no point. Just relax, silent, and allow it to go into the unconscious. Let the body have deep sleep. Yeah. Initially, when you are training, meditating, you want to understand more, then you can try it out. Yeah. Because the 24-hour meditation, I did it for a few months, then I understand. Yeah. After that, no need. Yeah. It's just to develop the understanding that as you understand, you know this is what the mind is all about. Then body is still a body. Body need deep sleep or deep rest. Of course, when you go into the deep sleep, you have a choice to either maintain the awareness within or just allow it to be. But even went through, you will go through those phases and you will understand. And it is supposed to allow you to develop the understanding so that you can develop the wisdom out of it, so that you understand the essential Dhamma clearly. Then meditation becomes different, then you will know what to do. Then the other very important training is, after this, the Buddha said, after you have developed the mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, you move on to the next stage. You cultivate mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. Mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. Do you know how to do it? In the sutta, what does it say? Yeah? The first one is what? Rupa vedana sanya sankhara vijnana. You go by and read the sutta. Then we discuss it later on. I have gone through in the Sunday class, Satipatthana Sutta. Because this five degree of form and mind, they are every moment, every instant, arising and passing away within your form and mind. So the Buddha said, when the aggregate of form, rupa, arise, you must be aware. Why must you develop the awareness? When you develop the awareness, you can understand many things because you didn't do anything. You're just silent. Then through the awareness, you can see things as they are. Then you will come to know how this aggregate of form arises. Then you will see their impermanence leading to suffering. When you attach, when you cling, when you grasp, when you deludedly give meaning to it. Yeah. That's why all this will develop the initial wisdom. Then you start to understand the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching very clearly. Then after that, you go on to the third category of training. What is the third category of training? Yeah? First category is mindfulness of five mental hindrance. Okay? Then after that, five aggregates of form and mind. Okay? Form and mind. Then, six internal and six external sense bases. Sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom. That's why this one is to develop wisdom. And this is the one that the Buddha every time teach the monk, and a lot of them become arahant after that. What did the Buddha say to the monk? In the seeing, just the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, just the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear, no one to smell, no one to taste, no one to feel tactile. There is no thinker behind the thought. So this is to allow you to develop the wisdom to show you very clearly that this whole existence is all dependent originating. Dependent on the sense basis, internal and external. What happened? You must meditate. The theory is in the sutta, anasana. That's why depending on the eye and mental form, upon contact, what happened? Eh? When you are mindful of this. The Buddha say, immediately the consciousness will arise. And within the consciousness, where you are not mindful enough, straight away with your views and opinion and your conditioning, straight away you stir and react after the perception. That's why he said, with the arising of the physical organ, the eye, and the visual form, color shape and form, upon contact, straight away the fetter arise. The fetter is the craving, the reaction. So all this, you will start to understand that there is no body inside there. It is like physical experiment, dependent originating. Upon contact, that consciousness arises. But you cannot see because your mindfulness is not sharp enough. And you are so conditioned with the sakkayaditi, self-delusion. That's why straight away you perceive, I see. Then your conditioning, your memory, which is what the human being is all about. The human being is just a bundle of memories with its conditioning, views and opinion, belief system and tradition, etc. From this, you stir your mind, you react. That's why the fetter arise, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's how the stirring comes. So the Buddha said, trace the origination factor to this mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases. Before anger arise, there was no anger. Before lust, sensual desire, craving arise, there was no such mental state or mind state. So, how did the unwholesome mental state arise, like selfishness, greed, lust, craving, envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, fear? How did they arise? The Buddha said, trace their origination factor. And when you do this, you will come to understand every time is from the senses, six and all, six and bases, understand? That's why the Buddha said, six internal sense bases are your five physical senses with the mind. Then the six corresponding external sense bases are the, what they call, mental form that this respective sense organ takes in. So like see the eye. The eye can only give rise to mental consciousness when there is this color, shape, and form, means external form. So when the physical organ of the eye, together with the external mental form, the respective mental form, when the contact comes, it will condition the arising of the fetus. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, you go and read. The third category of practice, mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, it always talks about the two pair, the internal sense bases and the external. When the two come into contact, then the factor that arise from this contact, you will come to understand. That's how the origination factor of the defilement, the evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, your fear, your lust, your envy, your jealousy, your anger, your emotion, your insecurity, everything arises because of your sense bases. And who allow it to arise? Because of the delusion, self-delusion. The form and mind does not understand. That's why there is fear, fear of the unknown. Fear of whatever that is projected by the thought. That's how fear arises. Then your reaction of mind, anger, hatred, dislike, unpleasant feeling, they condition your mental suffering. That's why the factor, the evil roots, they arise there. Then the Buddha said, when you are mindful of this, you reflect and you contemplate and you develop the wisdom. Why did you react? Initially, before anger arise, there was no anger. So anger is never you. So what is anger? Anger is? What is anger? Anger never you because it was not there before. Then how did anger arise? Due to? Dependent on what? Dependent on the internal sense organ and the external sense basis. So anger is dependent originating, understand or? You understand? It's a condition arising state. That's why it's not you. That's why it's impermanent. It arises because of those conditions. But when those conditions cease, it will cease. So what are the conditions now? We analyze. We investigate into it. So the first condition is, like the organ, eye plus visual form plus what? What is the third condition for the fetus to arise? No. That one is the color, shape, and form is this one. The third one. No. This one is delusion. That's a wrong view. If there is wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Not long enough to write. So this one is a yoniso. Yeah? Manasikara. Unwise attention. Yeah? Manasikara is attention. A yoniso is unwise. That's why it's called delusion. So if there is yoniso manasikara, means wise attention, then no fetters. Understand? This one is wise. This one is attention. That's why wise attention at the moment of sense experience, there is no delusion. So when this one arises, there is no delusion. When there is no delusion, there is no fetters. But when there is delusion, there is fetters. The fetter arise. Because of delusion, wrong view. Understand? Can follow? Self-delusion, they attach and cling. For me or not for me. That's why selfishness arise. The greed arise. Dislike, aversion, anger arise. The unknown, through delusion, you cannot understand. Fear arise. Because you project your thought. So all this, the Buddha said, when you start to develop the mindfulness of this meditation, you will come to understand how the unarisen fetters come to be. Then you trace the origination factor, means you understand that they arise through the senses. It's always at the sense door. Then when you understand that this is the cause, how do you retrospectively reverse it? Means, what must you do? You must do what? Huh? When you know this is a cause. What must you do? Very good. Well, sadhu, huh? When you know this is the cause, you must straighten your view. This is very good. That's why if you don't straighten your view, you cannot free yourself. This is what wisdom is all about. You have to straighten your view. And you know this is the cause. You must straighten your view to retrospectively reverse it. Retrospectively reverse it. Yes. No. Right effort is for the thought. The first two are thought based. Understand? The first two are thought based. The third one is meditative. So what you must do is, when you trace the origination factor, means you know that this is the cause because of delusion. So if you straighten your view, the next time when you are mindful, what happened? You does not stir anymore, is it? Correct or not? You understand or not? Whereas, When the mental hindrance arise, you must apply the five way, the third way, the meditative one. That's why this one is just aware. This is the third way, understand not? Be with it. Then you realize it exists. When you don't resist, no mental hindrance, spiritual faculty take over, then that thing gone. Like the Buddha said, originally, there was no evil root. Originally, the mind is already in a meditative state. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Why do you want to learn to be aware or try to be aware? There is the thought actively wanting to be aware. That's why you cannot be aware. Understand that? That's why you cannot meditate. That's why all the thought-based meditation go and interfere, fight, resist, and do. A lot of doing. Who do? The thought do. When you continuously do that, the mental hindrance cannot go. The most gullible is when you go and note the hindrance. You make it more intense. Understand? Huh? Pain, pain, pain. What is pain? You already label it as something you don't like, and it's already a mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering a meditative state. That's why you have this aversion towards that feeling. That's why you cannot accept that feeling for what it is. You cannot be with it. That's why you cannot meditate. And if you cannot do this, you don't know how to relax. You don't know how to be aware of what is happening. Then when you able to do this, like what the Buddha said, then you realize the anger, everything ceases because these are conditioned arising state. They are dependent, originating, empty, impermanent, non-self, not you. That's why anger was never you. Sloth and torpor was never you. All the five aggregate of form and mind was never you. That's why under Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Buddha said, form is impermanent. Form leads to suffering. Form, because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self, not you, empty. So all this, through the four foundations of mindfulness, especially Dhammanupassana, you will develop all the wisdom. So these six internal and six external sense bases is to trace the origination factor. Where after you have done the first and the second, you already know the mental hindrance, how they arise and how this is. Then how in the future they won't arise. But this is like what I used to tell you. Every time you got problem, what you do? Go and meditate, make yourself peaceful, understand? But come out to life again, get into trouble. Understand? It because if you cannot understand this, you will always use meditation to overcome your problem. After that, come back to life, you again repeat. Because you have not straightened your view, understand? You only know how to allow it not to arise. Understand? This one, you don't trace the origination factor, the fourth way. The fourth way is to be done by the six internal and six external sense bases to develop the wisdom. The fourth way of the five ways to overcome mental hindrance or unwholesome thought, develop wisdom through tracing the origination factor. That's why here you meditate by tracing how this hindrance come to be. Understand? In the first one, after you experience the hindrance, then you aware, understand? Then only you come to know how they arise, how the unreason one arise, because you lack five spiritual faculty, understand? But this one you haven't traced the origination factor, no? You haven't developed the wisdom, no? You only know because you lack five spiritual faculty. That's why mental hindrance is there. That's why the Buddha said, they are two pair. When the mental hindrance is there, it means you don't have spiritual faculty. So if you want to overcome the mental hindrance, the Buddha said, don't fight, don't resist, don't suppress, don't do anything. Only cultivate the opposite five. It will cease to be. We already gone through many times. Then after that, he wants you to understand that the five aggregate of form and mind is also not real, not you, impermanent, lead to suffering, non-self. That's why the second foundation, the second category of practice of Dhammanupassana is to be mindful of the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why you meditate, because this five aggregate of form and mind, the mental form, and the physical form. In the five daily contemplation, you really contemplate the physical form, the first aspect of form as a physical form. Then the mental form, you have to investigate and contemplate again. Because you are mindful. That's why the moment of perception can be seeing or hearing or smell or taste or tactile or thought. Listen carefully. This mental form will arise. Understand? So when you are aware, means what happened? You are aware of this five aggregate of form and mind arising. That's why I used to tell you all last time. You can be at the moment of perception. Understand not? The moment you perceive it through memory, this perception, because of the memory, through your conditioning, you label it straight away. You understand? That's how you went wrong. But in the pure perception, there is no memory. You see things as they are. That's why the Buddha said, when you are mindful, this is the nature of form. This is the characteristics of form, because they are all dependent originating, condition arising. Dependent on condition, they arise. Then when they arise, when condition cease to be, they cease to be. That's why you come to understand how these five aggregate. The first one is rupa, mental form, how they arise, then how they disappear. Then you start to see they're impermanent. Then when you hold and cling, you start to see how suffering comes to be, how all these fetters arise through your wrong view. Then you also will come to understand, because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, like the Buddha said under Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. If it's you, it will not lead to suffering, true or not? Because you have control. Correct or not? Because if that one is really a permanent unchanging entity, which you can call this is me, this I, means it will listen to you. Don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Yeah, it will become that. But because there is no such thing, which is a permanent unchanging entity that you can control, in full control, that can stay unchanging. So because of that, the Buddha said, whatever that leads to suffering cannot be a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. Yeah. Then after that he asked, is form permanent? Is impermanent, isn't it? So he asked the monk, he said, whatever that leads to suffering and is impermanent, is it right to say that this is me, this is I, and this can be mine? No way, understand not? Because it's impermanent. Depending on condition, it actually evolves and change. It arises and it ceases. There is nobody inside there. You cannot own it. You cannot possess it. These are all condition arising entity, dependent originating. So that's why under Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Buddha make it very clear that when you understand, then you realize the five aggregate of form and mind is not you. And that one, when he spoke the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta to the monk, they can become arahant straight away, you know that. Do you understand why they can become arahant straight away? Because they have been with him for so long, understand? Meditating together, cultivating. The only thing is, nobody explained to them that this five aggregate of form and mind is not them. It's impermanent, lead to suffering. Well, this Dhamma, this teaching was not there. And when the teaching is there, actually you don't need to meditate. But you must have your past, understand? You must have that condition. The moment you hear, you awaken. You must have that passion, that interest. You must have done this for a while. It's just like in life. If you are interested in that particular topic, let's say investment. The moment somebody who is very good in investment give a talk or one, you listen, you will get very attracted. Understand? You will get yourself like very involved. Then you rejoice. These are the things nobody tell you one, but well, he did it. The moment he explains, you understand. But let's say you don't like investment one, you blur one, you everything also don't know one. You only want to know can buy or not. I don't want to understand the rest. This talk got fundamental, the whatever technical chart or anything, you don't want to know too much problem. Just tell me, can buy or not? Like meditation, teach me shortcut. No need to do all those things. So overnight I awaken. You like that, you go and listen to that talk, you're sleepy. Understand? So you must have the condition behind. So if you have already cultivated, you have already developed the what they call spiritual zeal, tenacity to walk this way, and you are very, very sincere, then you are very attentive, and you want to understand. The moment the Buddha spoke this, you were awakened. That's why the three turning is very powerful. The first turning, proclamation of truth. Even now, with the sasana, with the condition, you also can awaken. That's why after this, you go back and contemplate and reflect and stabilize this very fast. Maybe by the March retreat, a lot of you will understand, you will awaken. Inside, you will transform. Then you will understand things very differently. That's why all these teachings are coming out because there is condition. That's why I said you must ask. What you ask is something sincere. Then the condition can arise for all this teaching to come out. You keep on looking down and don't want to put up your hand, waiting for others to put out their hand. You never learn. That's why just now I got no other choice. I want to go around one by one. Because I remember last time in the retreat, they go one by one. You cannot run, unless run out of time. Because retreat, not enough time. Like this one also, one question, maximum two. Oh, still got a second one. So this one can follow now. Yeah? Because this is the real Satipatthana, understand? You go and listen to the previous Sunday one, Wu Pingqing, so on. Yeah. That one is even more clear. I gave a lot of example that one. Yeah. Because that one got Sutta class, Platform Sutta. I link it to the Platform Sutta. I link it to Hui Ning, Six Patriarchs teaching. His teaching is very simple. No such complication like Four Foundation Mindfulness, or Vipassana, or Jhana. Don't have all such things. You ask Ng Bi Deo who attended the class. He just say Ping Ten Sing, equanimous mind, be sincere. Then meditate with this mind, this understanding. Then you will understand, you will awaken. Then all those subsequent things are all analogy and example. Then I connect it to Sakyamuni's teaching, the four foundation of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, all those things. Then connect to the mental hindrance, everything. It's there, you go and listen. Then you complement with tonight one, you will understand very clearly. So this one is to develop the wisdom. Retrospectively, when you know, just like what I wrote here, when you know this is the cause of the arising of the fetter, understand? We are under the first category, you already know. These five mental hindrances, the fetters, the evils, they are not you. They are dependent originating. They arise later. Before that, they were not there. Then when you're just aware, this is to be. Then like I explained to you, the five aggregate. When feeling arise and pass away, did you die? You didn't die. So how can feeling be you? When mental form arise and pass away, you didn't die. So how can the physical form and the mental form be you? Then you start to understand clearly what the Buddha meant by anatta, non-self. Dependent originating, condition arising. He know you, he know me. No mark of a self, of an individual being, of living being. Only five aggregate of form and mind. With its bundle of memory and conditioning. Just form and mind against form and mind, nothing. And this is the vehicle for you to come. The tool for you to use to live life. That's how you use it, understand it. Don't be deluded by it. Don't be deceived by it. Then through this, you start to understand why every time when you see things, hear things, smell things, tactile feel or through the thought, the fetter arise. Why? Because wrong view. Delusion. Self-delusion. You think you exist. Then you perceive another human being as exist. You perceive them with negativity through your memory, through your brain, through your conditioning. But they are just the way they are. Understand? No right, no wrong. No such, no that. Thing is just the way it is. It's only through your discrimination, your self-delusion, you label, you stir, you give meaning, you cling, you hold, you grasp, you get yourself into trouble. That's why the whole phenomenal world loses its power when you understand this. Then you realize the main culprit is delusion. I have to work on this. And after you have done the first two foundation, the first two category of cultivation, you start to understand all this, and you know how to actually deal with them already. The only thing is there is no wisdom to straighten your view, so that in future, when you see them again, hear them again, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think of them again, there is no more stirring, no more reaction. And that is what the equanimous mind is all about. The mind that is sincere, without greed, without selfishness. As I just saw in the car, Sue was asking me, is it relative? I want to clarify you again. When you say, the absence of evil is good, you know what she told me or not? Means no need to do good. I just make sure no evil. Because she confused it with what? No? Doing good, no? That part he cannot understand, no? Because when you say, I do good, means what? Huh? When somebody say, this is good, it's a condition good, isn't it? Because this is not the ultimate truth, not a reality. This is good according to you, understand or not? So when you do good, you will get into trouble, because this is a condition good. Before you have wisdom, before you awaken, before you become enlightened, you will have self-delusion. You will have all this wrong view. That's why your good is conditioned by the memory, by the belief system, by all of this that you carry through your tradition and other things. Even your race, your culture, your religious beliefs system or religious labor, all this condition you. Your education, your community, and all those things. So all this, when you start to understand, then you realize it is because of all this that the world has so much problem. That's why they argue, right and wrong. There is conflict, there is war, there is aggression. Through anger, through violence, they want to defeat the other one. They think by doing that, they can control, they can suppress, they can solve their problem. But then, they will revolt again. Because there is no harmony. There is always conflict. There is always war, aggression, selfishness. All this will bring about undue suffering to the world. So what you need to develop is the wisdom to overcome all this, not to be deceived and deluded by all this. So wisdom can only be developed through understanding, like Krishnamurti said, the absence of evil is good. When you are incapable of negativity, then you are naturally good. True or not? True or not? When you are incapable of negativity means what? Like Hui Ning said, when you have this sincerity, when you have this wisdom, when your mind is equanimous, you will not arise the duality, you will not stir, you will not have selfishness, you will not have emotional negativity, you will not have fear, you will not have all this duality that arises through your wrong view. And because of that, you naturally become peaceful. You naturally become virtuous, because you are incapable of all those things. And this is universal truth. That's why the Buddha said, if you follow his advice to avoid all evil, when you cannot commit evil, what happened to you? You're naturally good, isn't it? Clear or not? True or not? That's why he said, all evil, you must avoid. If you can do that with mindfulness, you're already good. Because whatever slightest mental intention that is evil, that is negative, that is selfish, that is insincere, that has deceitfulness, that has delusion, you strip away. That's why they cannot continue. Then you will know how to abandon all this. Because these are all wrong thoughts. That condition, your suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, and your lament. These are the ones that condition your evil root and make you evil, make your karmic fall. So when you understand all this, when you cultivate through mindfulness until you are incapable of all this, then whatever that arises is sincerity, understand not? Truthfulness, generosity, no more selfishness, the opposite of it. There is only love, compassion, no envy, no jealousy. Then there is contentment, there is respect, there is kindness, goodness, gentleness, respect for elders and for the wise and all. So all this will make you different. Then you realize the absence of evil is already good. So I don't try to do good. We are the one who is trying. It's the thought. Understand? The conditioned mind, which is still deluded. So as you purify, as you cultivate, that's why this Dhammanupassana is very beautiful. After the first category of practice, mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, followed by five aggregates of form and mind, then the six internal and six external sense bases. The next category is what? Once you have this wisdom, to develop wisdom, well, retrospectively, you straighten your view to reverse all this. So that the next time you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, your mind does not stir anymore. You can see things as they are, accept them for what they are. Well, no word, nothing. They are just the way they are. Form and mind, just form and mind. There is no more right and wrong, no more argument. Then you can be at peace with everything. You can respect them for what they are. We are deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Then no more, oh, my husband, how can he treat me like that? My wife, my children. I sacrificed so much. I gave them the education. I provide for whatever they need when they were young, care for them, sacrifice for them. And now they do this to me. All this is delusion, understand? Because when you see the bigger picture, all these are law of karma. You reap what you sow. You have this condition. If you're in the past, when you are a kid, you did that to your parent. They also provide for you, sacrifice for you, and do all this for you. And yet when you grew up, you neglect them. That's why when the condition arises, you become the victim. You will have children that will do all this to you. Then when you understand all this, your mind will not be deluded. You straighten your view. You can accept all these things. You need to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness, like what I have taught you all. Then you determine not to repeat all this. Then you determine to change over to a new life, to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, to good, and purify your mind, and to develop the cultivation. Then you invoke the power of merits, understand that? Power of merit for causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish, meet up the wise, and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized. Then you also can make aspiration for causes and conditions to walk the path of Dhamma with ease, so that all this affirmation, like what we did under the Bodhisattva vow, the right view, everything can come about. So all these are possible when you have done it correctly. So the moment you have this, that's why the next category of practice is seven factor enlightenment keep on arising in you. Then you know you're on the right path. That's why the seven stages of purification also explain them. So this one, after this, is the seven factors of enlightenment. Mindfulness are the seven factors of enlightenment. Then finally, when you have this factor of enlightenment arising, you will understand the Four Noble Truths. That's why the last category of cultivation is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. You will have to go back to all the cultivation again, starting from right view, going on to the right thought, right speech, right action, and right effort. Right livelihood, then right effort. Then after that, right mindfulness again. Then the whole thing become one. That's why the whole of the teaching finally end up with the Noble Eightfold Path, which is part of the Four Noble Truths, the Fourth Noble Truth. So the Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. That's why finally you have to awaken to the Four Noble Truths. then only you can become enlightened being. Otherwise, the enlightenment that people talk about is not what the Buddha meant. What the Buddha meant is the Noble Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths. Okay? Can follow? Any question so far? This is actually the whole cultivation. That's why you should thank Christina for asking that very good question. Otherwise, there is no condition to explain all this. You should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, anything not clear that you want to clarify some more? You can ask, don't worry. It's not an exam, it's not a test. Not sure, put up your hand and just ask. Don't worry. You understand all this later as you go through the cultivation. Then you start to realize, oh, the Dhamma is actually so beautiful, all connected. This straightening of your view, the right view, is very important. Understand? And it all comes from the three right views with regards to the law of karma, the law of mind, and the Four Noble Truths, where they are karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So when you have that, these are all clear. Can follow? And this one, that's why after that, all the cultivator, they will evolve the wisdom out. That's why they will teach you from their own word, like my teacher, Ajayantra, share with you all. We choose accept everything as natural. Understand? Only mighty nature rolling by. Just like what the Buddha says, see things as they are. Understand? Then whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Means what? Law of karma, cause and effect. Understand? So what are the causes? You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. Every moment, every instant. So the causes and conditions behind must be karma, understand? That's why I say 99.999% is karmically driven. The way you become what you are when you arise as that segment of form and mind is all due to karma. Then, of course, there is the spiritual nature. There is another aspect where the enlightened being manifests. That one, actually, only the form and mind is subject to karma. Understand? But when the form and mind is connected to that nature and develop the wisdom, then during that time, that area or enlightened being or awakened being is not subject to suffering anymore. Means all this phenomenal world cannot deceive them. That's why during that time, the point, something one refer to the enlightened being, they are not affected by karma. That's why I say 99.9999 something is because of that. Only those who are really awakened, arahant and beyond, they are not affected. Because no more suffering. No more suffering. So the conditioned world, the phenomenal world, does not deceive them anymore. But it's only possible when it's connected to the form and mind. That's why that form and mind, you can say, is enlightened. That one is the arahant, or the bodhisattva, or whatever, or the Buddha. But that one is not you, understand? That one is the segmented form and mind, the karmically conditional. But because it's connected with the wisdom, it's not deluded, not deceived. That's why it has no karmic effect. It doesn't suffer anymore. The form and mind still receive the karmic, understand? But the mind doesn't experience it anymore. The mind is already liberated, not deluded anymore. That's why it has stand above like the lotus. From the field, the pond, the muddy pond, it arises, but it stand above. That's why you can be like a lotus when you develop the wisdom and the form and mind liberate. Means the mind realizes self and cease. Then it realizes that nature which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then the understanding, the wisdom connected to that form of mind, make the form of mind wise. basically that is the secret of life. That is what the teaching is all about. That's what Dhamma is all about. So next time, Christina, remember, any of the factors that arise or mental hindrance, just aware, silent, relax. Stay with it. Be with it. Sensual desire, you will also say, pain also say, even blissfulness. Or what? Just relax. Follow this. Relax into every mind state that arises, whether pleasant, unpleasant, whether it's mental hindrance or whatever. Just relax, silent. Yeah. When you relax into every mind state that arises, you will become at peace. You do not resist it. Understand? Then you don't go and build up energy. You don't go and control, suppress, stir, and do all those funny things. That one is all energy field, not meditation. Yes. No. No. Luckily you asked. That's why I must correct you. A lot of people. Oh yeah. She, our sister, they asked, the awareness, is it letting go? No. Nothing to do with letting go. Letting go is a word. And I said, no. And people has been conditioned by that word because it is very, very gullible. And gullible because I always use the word what? I always use this word. It appears to the normal people in the world as logical. Logical. The word is very logical. Because to you, it's very logical, isn't it? Because you think aware is to let go. No, even relax also same. Relax is to let go. You must ask, because you never inquire, what is this word, let go? Who let go? Who let go? You must be holding only you want to let go, isn't it? When you are not holding, must you let go? Only a person who hold, grabs, cling, let go, have to let go. But if you hold and grab, means what? You have delusion, you have wrong view, understand? That's why you cling, you react, you stir. Then people come along and say, hey, stupid like you, understand? You have to let go lah. You go and try. As long as he is deluded, he will hold. You go and tell the people who got cancer, who has a lot of fear, the body not you lah, let go lah. You see he let go lah. I tell you, he will tell you off. He say, I have enough suffering, enough fear, you don't come and tell me all this type of BS. He say, understand or not? But that person that is trapped in delusion will hold, will cling. Like last time, the analogy I give you. Achan Chah's analogy. He said, let's say you are holding on to a molten rock. You know what is a molten rock? Very hot one. Very hot one. Very hot. What happened? If you hold, means it will torment you. Torment and burn you. True or not? Huh? So what must you do? In real life, when you touch, it's so hot, you will put it down there. Because you see the harm, understand? The suffering, the burning. Because it's burning you and tormenting you. That's why you straight away put it down. Then, no more burning, no more tormenting. Then you are at peace. Understand? Then your problem temporarily solved. Understand? Because let's say this is your problem. Like cancer, or financial problem or relationship problem or whatever problem. But human beings' problem is, they say, this is my problem now. I must solve it now. That's why they keep on worrying about it. They keep on holding to it. They keep on getting fearful over it, miserable over it. And this is the fellow who is deluded and holding. That's why this word is holding. You ask him to let go. He's going to tell you, this is my problem now. I haven't solved it now. By don't thinking about it, you think I can solve my problem. True or not? He still recognizes that there is a problem. Now. But the Dhamma teach you very differently. He said, don't try to let go. Don't go and do all this stupid thing. When you know that this is the problem, this is causing you all the harm, the sorrow, the lamentation, the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, what must you do? Don't hold. Don't hold doesn't mean let go, understand or not? Like the red hot molten thing, the moment you touch, you already know it is tormenting you and burning you. You will not hold, is it? If you don't hold, what happened? It's not burning you, not tormenting you, then you are at peace, understand or not? And then you look at the problem. And then very easy, with that clarity of mind, you look at the problem, then you ask yourself, what are my options? How can I resolve this amicably using what I have learned from the Buddha's teaching? Then you apply Noble Eightfold Path. You will solve your problem. That's why you don't have to let go. Don't hold is not letting go, understand or not? Don't hold means I see the danger. I see the suffering. So normal living being who is so deluded, they worry about this because they say this is their problem. That's why they keep on holding on to it. Holding on to it and want to solve it. If you hold on to this red hot molten rock, you will be burned and tormented. Then how can you solve it? Correct or not? But because that suffering is not like this red hot molten rock, it is mental suffering that they cannot see. That's why they don't understand. They actually got a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of sadness. The thought project until they become so miserable. Their immune system has gone down, everything. And this is burning them, killing them, tormenting them, and yet they cannot see. So with this mind state, so confused, so heedless, so much suffering, he wants to solve his problem. I ask you a sincere question. Can he do it? He cannot, understand? The first thing you do is when the doctor says you got cancer, don't panic. Don't go and hold on to it and worry about it. Just tell yourself, the Buddha said, see things as they are. Contemplate. This body of mine is of the nature to go the way of nature. Get sick, get old, and die. Then I know, not me. The whole world is like that. Then if everybody has this problem, what must I do? I have to accept that this is a reality. Understand? Nature's law. Like law of karma and all those things. So when I accept them for what they are, means I have wisdom. I will not hold. Because I know if I hold, I will worry about it. I will develop the fear. I will develop the suffering. Then I will not solve my problem. Because I don't have clarity. I am not in a normal mind state to do anything. That's why you don't hold. Don't hold is not letting go. Understand? The person who holds tries to let go. No. The person who has wisdom does not hold. No. That's why he doesn't have to let go. Understand? You see the point? No? That's why don't be gullible. Don't allow logic to create the delusion in you. That's why you go and assume that to be aware and relaxed is equivalent to letting go. No. This is not equal. This one is logical, but not the truth. Logical, but not the truth. That's why all along I have been trying to explain all this for so many times over the few years. But it's not easy to go in, I realize. Yeah. True or not? But now a lot of Kanyamita know how to handle their life situation. They no longer, like last time, panic. First thing they remember is Brother Teo said, don't panic. Don't react. I remember there was one Kanyamita who went to Thailand. He at the custom there, or immigration there, he cannot go out. Then because of her earlier case, they impound her passport and all those things, because there was a court case. The boss did something and she was the one, the staff, the name was involved with the company. She was made one of the director. Then the boss gone, so they come after her. Then she remember, first thing, don't panic. Then have a clear mind. Then talk to them nicely. Then resolve it amicably. Then luckily, the next day, we supposed to go on a spiritual trip, we all went, she cannot fly, that day. Then luckily, the next day, a few more Kanyamita going, so I text her, I say, you don't worry, you sort it out slowly. Then after that, you go and look for my classmate, Wong Fuk Chai, where she is also going with another two or three person, I think. Then she managed to clear the thing, the lawyer, because she has got this lawyer that can help her. Then the lawyer just issued the letter, then tell her to go and see the immigration. Then after that, get it clear. Then she bought another ticket. Then she met out with my classmate, Fuk Chai, at the airport. Then the next day they came, and the whole trip turned out so well, so beautiful. And now a lot of Kanyamita know how to apply, even those in depression also. Last time they get into depression because they got a lot of fear. They got a lot of this, what they call intense fear. Then they think a lot. They think. They keep on holding on to that thought until it become a tape recorder. Cocoon of thought keep on evolving inside there. Then that fear intensifies. Then it releases a type of very negative type of hormone, because that fear is a negative energy field. And the hormone that is released will actually bring your immune system down. That's why they will go into very unstable mind state, become very depressed. They shut themselves out, lock themselves out, don't want to talk to people. Small, small thing get very, very irritated, or they react very strongly. So sometimes people cannot even talk to them, cannot even approach them. Even this type of victim or living being who has this type of suffering, you can help them to come out of it. I have a few, but not I do, their loved one do. Because this is all linked to karmic. You must know what to do following the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, and all this can be overcome, no problem. That's why asking for forgiveness and repentance is very important, and to do it sincerely with understanding. And to vow not to repeat all this, because you know these are evil, root of all evil. It will bring about a lot of karmic negativity, karmic obstruction, karmic suffering, karmic friction. So you vow not to repeat all this. Then you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to transform and change your life for the better, to improve your life. The moment you start to do all this with understanding, you don't go and resist, get angry and become miserable and create more evil root. Then more hatred, more envy, more jealousy. Then this karmic will continue. This karmic repercussion will continue. Then life after life, you toying with all this. That's why you will become more and more miserable. And you cannot come out of this. They call it a vicious cycle of birth and death. You call it the poverty cycle. You don't know how to come out of it. You will be caught in the poverty cycle. Because those in the poverty cycle cannot see all this one. Then their thought is so conditioned. Even you try to help them and tell them, hey, I can teach you how to come out of this. there are many people who become very rich, like Lim Ngo Tong, not educated or something. You know what they will tell you or not? Forget about it. Not for me. I cannot earn. I am like that one, is it? Nothing can help me. They are so negative. They don't even want to listen and give it a try. That's why they are caught in the vicious circle. People in depression also same. They only conditioned by that depressed thought. And even if you talk to them, if you are lucky, after a while, they say they become slightly better. The moment you talk to them, they keep on repeating what they want to tell you. They are not listening to you at all. And if you don't believe me, you go and try. They keep on wanting to tell you what they want to tell you. That's it. Yeah. Then the only way to turn them around is to actually wake them up. Yeah. You have to cut it off straight away and say, please, I hope you understand why you are like that. If you believe that you have not suffered enough, continue with your old way. Because your life, you better decide how you want to live. And that's, you put it back to them, then it becomes very different. Then they look at you differently. Otherwise, I tell you, you will be wasting your time. They will keep on repeating what they want to tell you. And a lot of them cannot see that because it has become like a tape recorder. After you try to explain, then they will tell you, but my wife, like that, he did this to me. Actually, it's not the truth as yet. They only tell you small thing. Then after that, you say something else, he's not even interested in what you say. He's not listening at all, he or she. Then they will tell you another story, another problem which has been on their head. Their perception of what that person is or how they become like that. That's why they can never come out of it. No point. Because of the karmic obstruction. That's why this type of people, I always say, don't bring them. Not to say I'm not compassionate. My nature is not compassionate. You know why I say don't bring them? Because of the karmic obstruction. No point. That I always say, you better check with them. If they want to come, then bring them. If they don't want to come, please don't try to be capable. If they want to come, you know, there is condition. And most of them, you know, but first one or two times they talk to them, the reaction is negative. They are not interested at all. But after a while, somehow condition arrived, they call back. There were quite a number of karmita came like that. Call back. Then they will say, last time I heard you say this, what you call brother Teo, can we make appointment to see him? Suddenly he will come and talk to you like that. Then he will say, I also heard about him. Then after that, you got such condition, then you bring. Otherwise, just because they are related to you, your good friend or what, forget about it, please. Because you don't understand karma. When they are not ready, when they don't have the condition, chances is their karmic will create the condition for them to be afflicted more severely. And my nature don't do anything. No. So if they come and they do all those things and they hit back, it is a pity. But most of the time they won't come on. I know. Because those who have condition, when they come, you will know. You can feel it. There are many depressed ones that came. Very funny, you know. You know what they tell me after that? They say, all these chronic cases, nobody can talk to them already. Then surprisingly, after they enter the house, there's a lot of things happen, of course, the negative thing, and I can feel their sadness, their depression, and all those things. Then somehow I got conditioned. The moment I start to explain, I start to talk, they start to listen. Then at first, one of the ladies told me, she said, cannot go, Every time I try to listen, the mind like black off, Blank off. Then he tried very hard to listen. Then because of condition, the nature know, then the coming obstruction overcome. Because I explained to them, ask for forgiveness or somebody. Then once the coming obstruction overcome, then she can listen. Then she can understand. before that completely cannot, just cannot go in. Yeah. You don't believe you can ask that lady at the back, Joanne. I think Joanne know. Last night Joanne came, she also got problem with the job, the bank. You ask her, she should thank Sian for bringing. She came with another friend. I tell you, the face, like so fearful until I tell you, that time she will go into depression and commit suicide already. It was so intense and so severe, so much fear. Then finally, after so many sessions on here, finally clear. That's why I got one of the Sherry, she used to share. He said, "Hey, Bright Hill King, you go and see if you want to." Because you can ask her to share. I don't know whether she want to share or not. Huh? You want to share or not, John? I pass the mic to her. Huh? Oh, you got 5 minutes. Okay, we allow you 5 minutes. If you don't want to share, it's okay. Huh? It's true. Use the mic. Use the mic. Put it on your mouth.
Brother, you say that correct? That means follow the Noble Eightfold Path and meditate.
Then I always tell her to calm down, because the old mental tendency, habitual tendency, keep on coming back, and she keep on repeating that habitual tendency. That's why she has to slowly, slowly understand and root all those things out. Even though she recovered very well, then later on, off and on, still got that thing, but now much better. Quick one, pass to her. Sadhu. Yeah, very good. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Hi, Brother Teo. I would like to heartfelt thanks to Brother Song.
Sadhu, Sadhu.
He's my very best friend.
Sadhu. he brought you all.
And also one more person, my dearest Huiling.
Hui Ling.
Yeah, my very best friend.
Sadhu. Very good. Very good. Very good.
My husband together.
Sadhu.
I want to say thank you very much to him.
Sadhu, Sadhu. We should rejoice.
Yeah, they came to my house for overnight, and they share a lot of things with me.
Okay.
And when I have any problems, they are always there for me.
Sadhu. Very good. Very, very good. Thank you so much for the sharing. See? Among Kayanamita, when you have the condition, all these are possible. Off it, off it, off it, just off it. Push the center piece. Push. Slide it. No, center, white one. Okay. Thank you. Okay, 10:30, we better end. We will do the closing puja. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours past. Maybe then share this wholesomeness with all beings. We'll start with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. Ita wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the ready ones. Next two Thursday, class cancel. Huh? Yeah. That's it.
So there are no Thursday class on the next Thursday, the 13th and the 20th, because we are away in Thailand. That's the first one. Second one is the Brother Teo's birthday gathering together with the annual Kayamita gathering is this Sunday. It starts at 11. Brother Teo arrives at 11:30, so please come early, because by 2:30 we are going to hand back to her. Okay, 11:15, Brother Teo is there. So by 2:30 we have got to hand back the place back to the restaurant, because they have got some other function at the night. Yeah? So please be early. It is at the Grand Imperial in USJ 19 Digital Mall. If you go to Jaya 33, look at Chakaki. Chakaki. USJ 19 Digital Mall, somewhere back there. That's two. And then the third one is those going on the Thailand trip for the Wat Nau Luang. Please be at the airport by next Thursday, the next Thursday the 13th at 5:50 a.m. because we are doing a group check-in. Please don't be late. Okay, thank you, Sadhu.